Hey ladies, the Beautiful Movement now has their summer box available for pre-sale. This means that you have the chance to sign up before these boxes sell out again. If you have not had the opportunity to get one of these boxes, grab your box today. These boxes are becoming so popular, they're actually selling out. The theme in this box is walking with Jesus, a box that will help you grow deeper with God this summer. It's the perfect summer starter kit that you don't want to miss. Head on over to www.jointhebeautifulmovement.com to sign up today. Be sure to use the discount code UNCOMMONTEEN, all one word, for 15% off your first box. You can also follow The Beautiful Movement on Instagram at the_beautiful_movement. Ladies, you don't want to miss this. Welcome to the Uncommon Teen Podcast, the podcast for Christian teen girls. It is my heart to help you all overcome the real life challenges that you are facing, but in a way that stays true to who God created you to be. I'm your host and life coach, Jamie Kirshner, and I'm so excited to be here with you today. All right, ladies, this week on the Uncommon Teen Podcast, we have Pastor Chris DuBois joining us all the way from the Awakening Church in Dover, New Hampshire. Along with being a husband and father of six kids, he's also the author of three books, including the one that we're going to be talking about today called A Better Approach to Dating, Navigating the Modern Dating Scene with God's Guidance. Now, this will be a two-part episode. This week, we're going to be answering the question, what does a healthy Christian relationship look like when it does come to that time? And then 2 weeks from today, we're going to be airing part two, answering the question, there's this Christian guy that I like, but he doesn't like me back. What should I do? We're also going to talk about biblical submission. What does it mean that wives are supposed to submit to their husbands? What does that mean? What does that even look like? I am so excited, ladies. This is going to answer so many questions for so many of you who may not understand what a healthy Christian relationship actually looks like. All right, Chris, we are so excited to have you as a part of the Uncommon Teen Podcast this week. I always like to share with these girls a little bit about my guests. Tell me something fun about yourself that not very many people know.
Not a lot of people know that I'm a rock drummer. So I grew up in two different bands as a teenager playing the drums, Mysterious Benefactors and Makeshift. We had a lot of fun. We played at youth groups and different churches and youth events, and it was a blast. I actually had to sell my Chevy Camaro. It was cherry red with a T-top, with a sport bra in the front. It was like awesome. And I gave that up for a 89 Dodge Caravan with wood panel stripes so I could fit my drum set in there. That was a very hard and humbling thing to do, but it was worth it for the music.
Oh, that's awesome. Were you a teen when you did that?
Yeah.
That's a really big decision as a teen.
Yeah, that was tough.
All right. So is there a verse that's standing out to you right now?
1 Peter 1:8 talks about joy unspeakable, full of glory. Jesus brings a fullness of joy that sin can't give to you, the devil can't give to you, fleeting pleasures of sin can't give you. And I'm just trying to live in that joy, walk in that joy. It's part of the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5:23 and 24. So I'm just trying to live in that. And that's been ministering to me lately, trying to seek to live that out by the power of the Spirit.
That's awesome. Yeah, I love that. My daughter's name is Kara, which is the Greek word for joy. So joy is a good topic. And it's something I feel like a lot of people don't know a lot about. It's something they equate it to happiness, which is two totally different things. So I think that's incredible.
Yeah,
I love that. That's awesome. All right. So will you share with us a little bit about your story? So where you were before you decided I'm going all in with Jesus, what led you to that decision? And what has God done in your life since making that decision?
Yeah. So I grew up in the Roman Catholic Church. I ended up leaving that at a young age. My father ended up getting saved by watching this TV preacher. I grew up in the church and went through all the Sunday school, this program called Royal Rangers, which is like a Christian Protestant version of Boy Scouts. And I remember there was like an altar call given to receive Jesus Christ. I was a young child and I responded and gave my life to Jesus Christ. Later on, though, in middle school, I kind of backslid. I went to a public school and kind of went my own way. Then at 15 years old, I had to go to church. So my parents made me, or else I wouldn't live at home, which I actually endorse that. Just because my parents didn't make me go to church, I would have never probably encountered God at a church service. And hence, I might not be here right now. So I thank God that my parents made me go, even though I didn't want to go. One Sunday evening service, the Lord just came upon me. A Holy Spirit convicted me of sin and unrighteousness in my life with lust and other sins. And I just felt this the preacher said, if you wanted to receive Jesus, come forward. And I recommitted my life to him because I had been, you know, not following him for the last few years. After that, I still wasn't all in. I still wasn't super bold. I still was like one of those shy Christians, like kind of, you know, I'm in a public school. I want to be liked. And if I'm going to be a bold, radical Christian, I'm going to be mocked, persecuted, and not be cool. So I just shut up about my Christian faith. Fast forward 2 years later, I was 17 years old. There was a guest speaker that was at our church. I was starting to get real hungry for the Lord. And I was just so full of expectancy and faith. I went down for prayer. I just wanted more of God. I wanted to receive the baptism and the filling of the Holy Spirit. I wanted to make a difference in my high school. I didn't want to be shy and cowardly and want to fit in and be super cool and liked by the world anymore. I just wanted Jesus. I started reading my Bible, started praying like I never before. So anyways, I went down front and that was it. He prayed over me. Never experienced God like that before. But God was working on me and setting me free and healing my heart. That experience lasted about 4 hours. It forever changed my life. I became super bold. I started preaching Jesus left and right. Started a Bible study. They started calling me the Jesus freak. Started preaching in my youth group. I had a vision of God calling me into ministry, and the rest is history.
That's awesome. I had a similar story in the way that, like, I mean, it was immediately like God just really just touched me in a way that I'd never felt before. And so I love that. That's really awesome. So I know you have some new books out right now, and one of them is about dating. And I thought that we could talk a little bit more about that one, because I can't tell you how many times I get messages from teen girls. Just in this last week alone, I'd say probably 4 or 5 have messaged me about dating. So one of the questions that I just recently got was, what does a healthy dating relationship look like? So I always teach it's really good to wait until you're ready to get married to start dating, because this world and the way that it's set up is really setting us up for failure. But when it is time to start dating, what does that look like? How do we have a healthy relationship of dating? Another question this week that was, this girl, she likes a boy, he's a Christian, but he doesn't like her. So what does she do? I would love to talk about this topic because it is a really big topic, especially in the culture that we live in, because dating is everywhere. So I would love to hear from you just a little bit more about your book, and then we'll kind of dig in deeper about each of these questions.
Excellent question. So let me give you just a little background to my dating journey. I'm your typical high schooler that started dating. I did start too early, and I agree with your wisdom to wait until you're ready to marry before you start dating, because the very purpose of dating is for the possibility of marriage. That's your intention or your motive for dating, or it should be. I started a little young. I was a freshman in high school. Now, it is true that some people do marry their high school sweethearts. Generally speaking, though, you don't. But I started freshman year in high school, and this girl liked me, and she was really good looking. And I wasn't used to good looking girls liking me. I didn't really date before that. So this good looking girl in my youth group, you know, supposedly Christian, and she likes me. And it's like, yeah, sure. I don't even have to fast and pray about this. So, but in hindsight, I wish I didn't start so young. She was trouble from the beginning. Several months into the relationship, she basically asked to sleep with me. Recently, like I told you, at 15 years old, committed my life to Christ right before I dated her. Thank God that I had committed my life to follow his commandments, his law, and to walk in purity. So I said no to her. And she kept on badgering me about it and eventually broke up with me over it. And come find out, after she broke up with me, I found out she had cheated on me with several guys. So she was trouble. So fast forward, I get my car now. I'm 16 years old. I get it the day I am 16. I don't wait even a day later. That was like freedom. Like, that was like the happiest day of my life. Again, I should not have dated. I should have used my single time to seek the Lord's face. I get a car. So of course, the dating stage is all the more real in my life, right? So I can pick up girls now and go on dates and stuff. So this can spell big trouble, obviously, but also lots of fun. So as a teenager, you know, you want to have a lot of fun and stuff. So, but looking back, I wish again, I would have waited longer to date. So my next dating relationship, it was actually the pastor's daughter, and that was interesting. And we had a wonderful relationship. We stayed pure. We had a lot of fun, but she ended up breaking up with me, which just broke my heart terribly. And just like the first one broke my heart, this other one cheated on me too, broke up with me, broke my heart. See the pattern starting to develop here. So then the next girlfriend was about a year later. We dated for almost 3 years. She never broke up with me, actually. I broke up with her and she never cheated on me. She was a good girl. So going through these experiences, I said, there's got to be a better approach to dating than this. So that's where my book came from. Now, what ended up happening was I said, okay, I'm going to surrender my dating life. I'm just going to trust God instead of Chris Dubois, because it's been a disaster ever since I've been doing it. I'm going to trust that Father knows how to match make. He knows what he's doing. He's all wise, all powerful, in control. He knows the end from the beginning. He knows who will best compliment me and which woman I will best compliment. And I will trust that in his sovereign timing, he will bring her to me when the time is right. And in the meantime, I will develop friendships with girls. I just won't call them dates. And we'll even hang out at times. There won't be kissing and holding of hands and all the stuff, you know, quote, dating serious couples that are romantically involved do. We'll just be friends. We'll put up boundaries. We'll be smart about it. And we'll center it on Jesus and just hanging out to see if she could possibly be the one. And then if I think she might be the one, then pursue dating with her. And if I then know in the dating, she is the one, proposed to and get married to her. Made sense. But anyway, so the point is, I said to these girls, we're just going to be friends until we both believe that we are potentially the one for each other. And this is what ended up happening. We didn't believe we were the ones for each other and the relationship dissolved, but it was never a dating relationship. So there was no hard feelings. There was nothing impure. We were still friends from a distance. There was no issues. It wasn't awkward when we ran into each other. We were in the same church together. Everything was great. I'm like, this works. There was no sexual immorality, temptation. There was no impurity. There was no rejection, betrayal, heartbreak. I'm like, this is amazing. Now, don't get me wrong. It wasn't easy to do that. It's hard to just keep it at a friendship level, but God gave me the power and the grace to do that. I had to, of course, make good decisions. I wasn't alone late at night with them. You know, when I felt temptation, I would leave, put up boundaries, right? And then this is where I will now get to your question. And this kind of answers your question. Like, what does a healthy dating relationship look like? It looks like being friends with each other, you respecting each other's physical boundaries. What I tell teenagers all the time is whatever turns you on, cut that off. Whatever it is that causes the temptation, the Bible says, don't make any provision for the flesh, Romans 13, 14. So you want to cut that off so that you're not enticed to sin, right? And here's the good news. Jesus says with every temptation, he's given us a way of escape, but we must choose that way of escape. So a healthy dating relationship looks like getting in the word together, praying together, being pure together, putting up good boundaries, communicating, going to church together, doing ministry together, group dating with friends, because there isn't all that impure temptation. Use it to get to really know one another, to see if you both believe that you're the one for each other. I really put this approach to work and it worked. So what happened was I was at church and I was teaching a class on relationships, which is kind of ironic seeing I was single. But anyways, so I was teaching on relationships and halfway through the class, this woman walked in that I had never seen or recognized. She was beautiful. And here I was, a single guy, and a new beautiful Christian woman comes to my class. So the first thing I do is after the class, go and introduce myself. And I looked at my mother and I said, Holy Spirit, I feel and sense and think, I could be wrong, but I sense and feel, just told me she's my wife. My mother looked at me and laughed. She didn't say, oh yeah, I'll believe with you. And she laughed at me. So I said, hey, I'm just telling you what I just felt and sensed the Holy Spirit just told me. So of course I reached out to her, I shook her hands and I asked her out that night. With hanging out with me and a bunch of friends after the class, she said, well, let me talk to my mother who was with her. She came back and said, I can't do it tonight. Maybe next week. I said, wonderful. Let's do it next week. So the following week, she came back to my class. I asked her out a few weeks later because remember the approach, you ask her out when you think she's a one. And then I proposed to her in a few months and we were married within 8 months. Does that kind of answer your questions?
Yeah, it does. It does. And the group dating, I just want to bring that up for a minute because I really highly suggest group dating because, like you said, the temptations aren't there, but you also get to know them better when they're around their friends. You get to see the true colors. Like if they're playing basketball with the guys and he gets hurt, gets like elbowed in the nose, what's coming out of his mouth? You're going to see his true walk with God, who he really is, because I mean, you can probably attest to this, but there are a lot of guys out there who will put on a show for a girl. And can do a really good job. And you think that he's an amazing man. But when you find out later on that his walk with God is not what he says it is, it can really cause some big problems.
That's so important, too, because the problem with the dating scene, it's built on hype. It's built on emotion. It's built on fakeness. It's built on pretense. You're not actually seeing the real person. This is why a lot of people, when they get married, they're divorced in a year or two, or they have that honeymoon experience the first year, and then their marriage becomes absolutely terrible once the emotions wear off. Why? Because they actually get to know each other now that they're married. Like the whole dating scene was like, They were concealing themselves. I mean, think about how twisted and messed up that is. Like, the purpose of dating is to show each other your true selves, to see and to make sure that you truly are the ones for each other. And then once you really believe that, then you get engaged. But if the whole dating scene is just having fun and just putting on your best and looking your best and never dealing with anything and just making out all the time, how are you ever going to really know the person that you're committing your life to? It's going to be a train wreck and a disaster once you marry them and you're like, oh my goodness, this is who I married. And then World War III begins and it's not fun. So get to know each other in the dating scene. Be real, because listen, the reason why most people aren't real is they're afraid of rejection. Let me ask you a logical question. Would you rather be rejected in the dating scene or after you're committed in a covenant before God and man for life? So be real. You don't want somebody to love and accept you if it's not really you. So yeah, in the dating stage, just make sure that you're real and that you're asking the hard questions to get past that fakeness, and you're actually spending enough time getting to know somebody before you run into marriage.
And then you're talking about boundaries too, setting those boundaries to keep you from temptation. I know my pastor always says you can't win from a losing position. You place yourself in a losing position, you're not going to win. Yeah, so good. Important. What are some ideas of different boundaries that they could set to make sure that they are staying pure? And I know that friendship is huge, but how do you set those boundaries so that they don't cross that line?
I am a true New Englander. New Englanders are very direct and straightforward. And so I'm all about being honest. So right from the beginning, you got to be honest, straightforward, and real. And just set up the boundaries right from the beginning and say, hey, look, I believe in the Bible. I believe in Jesus. And it's what brings glory to God. I'm going to go by the Bible. I don't want to be impure. I don't want to live a life of lust. I don't want to compromise in this area. So what are some things that we can cut off or boundaries we can put up? And so what we want to do is think of wise ways that will keep us from being enticed to sin. So it's like, if you have a boundary line, if you go over the boundary line, you sin, right? So a wise person will say, I want to be as far away from that boundary line as possible, right? A foolish person will say, well, I want to get as close to the boundary line as possible without going over. Now, technically, he's not sinning until he goes over, but he's being foolish because he's getting real close to that boundary line. The wise man will say, I want to be far from that. So you talk these things out, you think through these things, and then you establish those boundaries in place. Now, if those boundaries are broken, there's got to be some sort of a discipline, some sort of a timeout. Okay, listen, we broke these boundaries. Let's take a break.
Yeah, listening to that, it just, one thing that I think about is too, at night, your defenses are down. So if you're hanging out together alone at night, right, that's not a good idea. Those boundaries, like you said, are very important. And I love that you mentioned to talk it out. That's something that I've talked about in previous podcast episodes. Like, you know, sit down with them and talk this out and, you know, ask them, one, how is your relationship with God? What does that look like? Are you spending, what did you learn in the Bible today? You know, you don't want to just say, are you a Christian? Because, you know, they could just say they're a Christian just because they want to get you, or they could say that they're a Christian because they really believe that they're a Christian. They might be. But they may not be walking with Jesus. They may not be spending daily time in the Word. They may not be praying. They may not be having those connections with God. And so without those connections with God, they're not in a place where they're ready to get married at all.
Right.
Absolutely. Or even be in a dating relationship, because they're, you know, they may be in a totally different place. And so asking those questions is huge and it's scary, but it's so important. Right. Because it can save you from future trouble. I wish I did that. When I was in college, there was a guy that I was hanging out with. Actually, he kind of attached himself to me, but we were friends at first. And I asked him, I said, so are you a Christian? And he's like, yeah, I'm a Christian. And I thought for sure he was a Christian. Come to find out, after a lot of heartache and hardship and a lot of craziness, things that he was trying to do, I was like, do you even believe in God? And he's like, well, I believe Jesus is a good man. Like, oh, that's not what I asked you. Right. So like asking those hard questions, they're not even hard questions. Like if you really like somebody, asking them how their daily time with God is, what are they reading in the Bible right now? Those are good questions that you should be asking anyway.
I agree. It's asking those questions that could potentially cause the relationship to dissolve, right? And sometimes we're afraid to ask those questions because we just love the person so much. But again, it's better to break up now in the early stages of dating than to get committed and be stuck in a covenant and then there's no way out. And then you have to, and you're forced to work through it, but it's going to be a nightmare, right?
Yeah, so good. Tell us the name of your book.
It's called A Better Approach to Dating, Navigating the Modern Dating Scene with God's Guidance. And you can purchase that on my website, chrisduboisministries.com, or you can just get it on Amazon.
All right. Well, thank you so much for joining us on the Uncommon Team podcast. This has been such a great conversation and very, very thankful to have you on.
Well, thanks for having me. I appreciate it. And hopefully this has been a blessing to all the people listening.
Ladies, I hope that this episode helped you today. I hope that you know just how much God really does love you. Now, I want you to repeat after me, and I want you to mean it with all your heart. I am beautiful. I am valuable. My beauty and my value, they don't change. Even if someone fails to see how incredible God made me. All right, ladies, so I have a question for you. What does your summer look like? What is one thing that you are going to do this summer that is going to change your life forever? What are you going to do this summer to help you make friends who love Jesus, that will help you grow in your walk with God, all while having a blast? If your answer is, well, not really a whole lot, well, I have something just for you that will help you do all of those things. Are you interested? What if you did something this summer that could change your life forever? Ladies, I want to invite you to join me for Uncommon Teen Live 2024 because you are going to do just that. You are going to meet your new besties. You're going to have a blast and grow in your walk with God. So grab your parents, head on over to uncommonteen.com and grab your tickets today.